right, let's stand now one more time. Let's stand one more time now for our offering tonight. Amen. Let's everybody give tonight, honor the Lord like we're supposed to. Amen. Everybody honor the Lord like we're supposed to tonight. Hope you've got yours ready to give. Very, very, very expensive time of year. Let's ask God to bless it and His will be done. Amen. Amen. Let's everybody get ready to give now. Father, we thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Lord, I'm glad and I'm thankful for our church. Lord, it's just good just to see everybody. It's good just to be around each other and see people smiling and hearing that piano and guitar. And Lord, just feeling Your Spirit, Lord, we're at home here. Lord, I'm glad I feel at home here tonight. Lord, I'm glad we don't feel at home in this world, out there in the world. Feel out of place. Lord, I'm so thankful and glad we feel at home at Your house. Lord, I'm glad we come to church. Lord, if there's people here tonight struggling, I pray You'd help them get to victory. If there's anybody here tonight not saved, Lord, You'd save them. If there's anybody here tonight discouraged, that You'd encourage them. Lord, help them to realize that we've got to keep on keeping on. There ain't nothing to go back to. God, help us tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord. Bless this offering. Multiply it and use it for Your glory. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get our Bibles open now. We're going to have a little Bible study this evening on what we've been talking about, what sin will do to us. Sin has an effect on Christians. And we're going to turn to Psalm 51 tonight. Psalm 51, that great psalm that David wrote, and a special psalm there, and we'll look at it tonight. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 tonight was David's, what they call his great psalm of repentance. After he had got out of God's will, done some terrible things, and the Lord brought him back in, used him, blessed him. But it's going to help us understand tonight what sin will do to a Christian. We got this attitude among a lot of God's people today that since everybody sins, that it really don't matter. And that is not the right attitude. We are saved by grace plus nothing minus nothing. But we still should not take sin lightly. Sin's awful. Sin causes all of our problems. You know, the truth is, everything bad in the whole wide world is because of sin. Here, back yonder somewhere, it started with Adam and Eve. Sin is a bad, bad, bad thing. Don't ever take it lightly. Don't ever think you're all right because you're doing better than so-and-so. You can always find somebody living worse than you to make yourself feel good. We all can. But sin is a bad thing. If you want a healthy, long, happy life, the further you stay away from sin, the better off you'll be. That's right. And we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is a gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are saved by grace. We are not trying to work our way to heaven. A lot of churches, you get the impression that if you don't live good enough, you're not going to heaven when you die. That'd be a terrible... Lord, if I believed that, I'd be scared to move. Because you think, well, what should I do? Did I think wrong? Did I act wrong? Did I say wrong? Did I have pride? Did I have jealousy? Did I not witness to that person? I'd drive myself crazy if I believed that. And the first year I saved, I had a struggle with that. I really did. I thought, well, maybe... You know, I heard them preachers get up and they'd say, no sin going to enter into heaven. And I'd say, oh my goodness. Ain't no hope for me. And I'd pray and I'd pray. And I remember one time in my mom's basement, I got down. I was 18 years old, and I got down and I prayed and I prayed, and I said, "All right, no more sin. I'm never sinning again." And I meant it. I really meant it. I thought, "I am not sinning." I drove to town, and I thought, "Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me." And then you start thinking, well, maybe he wanted me to witness to that person, or maybe I didn't give. I know people drive themselves crazy like that. I'm glad we're not saved by our performance or by the life that we live. Thank God. I don't want to give you that impression. Don't you ever get the impression from this pulpit that your life that you live determines where you go when you die. It does not. Salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not talking about salvation tonight. We're talking about service and our life. You say, well, you mean no matter what you do, you're saved? Yes, I mean that. It's true. If you're God's child, you're always God's child. He may beat the devil out of you. He may take you to an early grave, but you are His child. Them girls back there are mine. They're always my girls. I may be happy with them. I may be mad at them. But nothing can break that relationship. Relationship cannot be broken. A guy told me one time, he said, well, no sin will enter in. And I said, that's why your body dies. This body sins. That inward man is perfect. And that's what goes to heaven, your spirit, your soul. Your body's going to be resurrected one day, and then you're going to get a new body, and it won't never sin. But this old body right here can't go to heaven because it sins. And tonight David was repenting here in Psalm 51, and I want you to notice what he said here in this Psalm 51 and verse number 2. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 1. This is a great scripture. I've read it so many times. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. You ever notice that? You ever notice when you get into sin, it's ever before you? You run into it everywhere you go. See, it's like right here. You can't get away from it. When you're sinning, he said, it's ever before me. God, get rid of it. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. What did he do, preacher? He had a man murdered and took his wife. That's what he did. And he's asking God to forgive him. And he said, that thou must be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Watch this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. That's why before you was ever born. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Now that don't mean his mother was committing adultery when he was conceived. That means he was born in the womb, sin, with a sinful nature. And David knew that. David knew that we are inclined to sin. We are. It's a whole lot easier to do wrong than it is to do right. It'd been a whole lot easier to lay at the house on the couch tonight and let the TV do your thinking for you than to get ready, drive over to the house of God, and try to get your heart right with God. It's easy to just float downstream. How many of you ever been in... How many ever been in one of them places? I don't know. The girls got this place over there called a Wilderness Lodge somewhere or another a few winters ago. There's what, Dolly, not at Dolly's Splash, but there's one over there, and it's an indoor thing. And they talked me into coming over there, and it's this big old huge place, has indoor stuff. And I got one of them lazy rivers. You ever been in a lazy river? And you just lay on this tube. That's all you got to do, brother. Lazy River is a good name for it, ain't it? Ain't that a good name? Because all you got to do is just, you want to go for a ride? All you got to do is just lay back there like this. And there's people just laying there, and there they go. It just carries them along. You don't have to hit a lick. But you know, if you was trying to go the other way, that's like living wrong, and that's like living right. Man, you're fighting, you're bumping into people, it's pushing you, and you don't want to fight. Y'all ever had a lot of fighting in your home? If you hadn't, you ought to thank God for it. Fussing and fighting. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you ever been in a home where there's you're fussing and arguing and fighting? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. Arguing and screaming and hollering and cussing and all of that. And that we don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. It's easy just to just float and do nothing. But if you're going to live right, it's a fight, brother. It's floating. You ain't floating. You're paddling the other way and bumping into people. And they're going one way. That's why it's so hard. The world's going one way and we're trying to go the other way. And it's tough. It don't just happen. It's a fight. And David knew that. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. David said, I was born on the lazy river. He said, it's the world just sort of takes you. It just takes you with it. You don't even have to put effort. It's like when people come to church and they say, make your choice tonight. And they say, well, I'm not making a choice tonight. I'm going home. Guess what? You made a choice. You make a choice by not doing nothing. You know what you got to do to go to hell? Nothing. You don't have to do absolutely nothing to die and go to hell. Just be born and live in this world. You be born, eat, drink, and never steal a thing and never cuss nobody and never drink a drop of liquor and you'll die and go to hell. You're born going that way. You must be born again. You got to go the other way. You got to go the other way. And that's what the world don't get. They just don't get it. They're making all these speeches today on TV. They said the president made a speech and it was the greatest speech for gay people that's ever been made by a president. And I was going like this, and like, the Lord's going to hit us. The Lord's going to hit us. You think we've had tornadoes and floods and bad weather? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think our economy's in bad shape? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think, listen, I prophet of gloom, whatever you want to call me, brother. God in the Bible never lets a nation by that just spits in his face and stomps on his word and goes the other way. God will judge our nation someday, somehow. And the only reason he ain't already done it, because there's a lot of God-fearing, Bible-believing people in this country that support missionaries all over the world. That's the only reason he ain't knocked us off the face of the earth already. But it's coming. It's coming. Now, I talked last time about sin breaks our fellowship with God. And now I want to talk about, you know what else sin will do in your life? Sin will make you lose the joy of your salvation. And it ain't worth it. You ever seen anybody that are happy, just happy to be saved, glad to be saved, glory to God, hallelujah, just eating it up? I've seen teenagers so much. I've seen those teenage girls come in, and they'd sit right here, and they'd just be shining. Their face just shine. You'd see the Lord all over them. And they raise their hand, they pray, and praise the Lord, you know, and everything. And little by little, they start dulling up. And they get an old boyfriend, or they go to a party, and they drink, or they do something sinful and everything, and they lose that joy. It'll steal your joy. It will steal your joy. Sin in your life will steal your joy. Now, brother, I've been right with God and I've been wrong with God. And I know it's a whole lot better to be right with God and have the joy down in my heart. Because sin, you have sin in your heart, you're miserable. You're not happy. You think that sin will make you happy. But what it does, it takes your happiness. I believe this, and you agree with me or not. If I look back over my life and I think, when was I the happiest? Think over your life, the happiest you've ever been in your entire life. And I can tell you right now, the happiest I've ever been in my life was when we was in some big, great church service, and my family was all there, and everybody's saved, and just as right with God as we could possibly be. That is the happiest I've ever been in my life. It wasn't Carowind. I mean, ain't nothing wrong going to Carowinds. If you want to go, go on. I don't judge you. If I had kids, I'd take them. Nothing wrong with that at all. But that ain't real happiness. The world can't give it. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. The happiest you'll ever be in your life is when you are right with God in a real worship atmosphere where you're communicating with your Creator and He's filling up that empty spot on the inside of you. And you know God's real and God's on you and you're right with Him. There ain't nothing in the world like that. And sin will steal that from you. It'll steal that from you. You know, people get in sin, they start finding fault with the church. Start finding fault with everybody. Well, the church ain't this. And I needed help and nobody spoke to me. And I went down there and everybody knew I was having trouble. Nobody tried to encourage. The devil, once you get in sin, he'll make you start finding fault with the church. Lady, girl one time used to come to our church. She was about, I guess, 13. It's been years ago. You don't know who I'm talking about. Oh, in the old building. 13. Come on the bus. And her mama was a strange one. She was one of these that, well, she shacked up with her boyfriend, but she let her kids ride the bus to church. One girl's 13, another about 15. And these girls loved it. They absolutely loved our church. We had all those bus kids that come from Lenore, and they did come from Lenore. And those girls eat it up. I'm telling you, they eat it up. And they would, just on Sunday evening, they'd hang around all evening, get to come back on Sunday night, somebody take them home. This girl's about 13, and it was Brother Danny this, and Brother Danny that, and Brother Danny this, and Brother Danny that, and ask me questions and life, and go, every time we'd go on a singing trip, they'd want to go. And her mama got, honestly, I think the devil got in her mama, and she got jealous of the church. And she got jealous of those kids loving church so much. And they'd come home and preach to her. You know, and say, Mama, you need to get right with God. Well, oh, she didn't like that. There's her boyfriend and her laying there on the couch. And them girls come in and preach to her. Well, one day, she wouldn't let them come to church. And they wouldn't come. So I went over and visited them. The bus worker told me, she said they wasn't coming back. And I said, why not? And they said, well, this happened. So I went over and I said, what's wrong? She said, I got something to tell you, preacher. And I said, well, tell me. She said, my daughter's not coming back to that church because they went to church the other Sunday and those kids got off the bus and went around behind the church and smoked a cigarette and somebody offered my daughter a cigarette. And I tell you what, if that's the way them church people act, I don't want my daughter going back there. And in my mind, I thought, you've got to be the dumbest person that I've talked to in 5 years. Do you honestly think she ain't offered a cigarette in that public school? I said, you let her go to school 5 days a week, don't you? Them same kids that ride that bus go to that school she goes to every week. Amen? Amen. Do you think they don't tempt that girl to go somewhere or party or smoke pot or something? And she said, well, church people shouldn't do that. And I said, you're absolutely right. But that ain't no reason not to let your kids go to church. Do you honestly think all them kids in that trailer park's perfect when they get on that bus? Same kids go to school with them. And I said, you're wrong. Well, then we've had Bible school. And we had Bible school every night for about a week. And on Friday night, I was going to do the rock music video. And I mean, we had a mob of them coming. I mean a mob. And I was going to preach on rock music. And we was praying for 25, 30 to get saved. And that girl wanted to come. Her mom wouldn't let her. She would not let her come. There's no doubt in my mind that a seducing spirit got on that woman and kept that girl from coming to that service. And she never did come back, that girl. Them kids never did come back after that. And I saw some friends of hers a few years later, and they said, she's a lesbian. She now has a girlfriend. She's living a wicked life. And brother, you know where that all goes back to? It goes back to that mama who wanted to live like the devil and wouldn't let her kid. That girl might be sitting right here tonight if her mama made the right choice. I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. Sin, there's results of sin. Sin has consequences. Sin has a price to pay. It ain't just like, well, I've done something wrong, so what? God, forgive me. There's consequences. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, about God's chastening. But one of the consequences is you start seeing faults in the church. You start seeing faults in the church. You watch these people. They see everything wrong with the church, but they don't see nothing wrong with the government. They don't see nothing wrong with the world. They don't see nothing wrong with their softball team they play on. But when it's church, critical of everything in there, they're messed up in their head. Buddy, I love the church and I'm going to take up for it. I'm on church's side. We ain't perfect, but shut up about our faults. Amen? This is God's church. It's His body. Listen, if it wasn't for this church, ain't no telling where some of you might be right now. We ought to thank God for our church instead of criticizing it. They make them pie crust promise. You know what a pie crust promise is? Easy made, easy broken. I read that somewhere. But that's what sin does. It'll make you lose the joy of your salvation. All right? Third thing. If you want to say something, you help me, you're welcome to. The third thing you've got to know about sin is that sin will bring the chastening hand of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 just a second. This is a scripture a lot of people don't like. This boy argued with me about it one time because he believed God didn't whip his kids. And I told him he did. Hebrews 12:6. Ain't much argument about it. Hebrews 12:6, it said this: "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." There is not one Christian that don't get a whipping once in a while. According to that verse, he scourgeth every son when he... You say, well, how do you know when you've been whipped by the Lord? You know. If the Lord ever whipped you, you'll know it. Amen? You'll know it. You won't have to... Listen, brother, when my daddy hit me when I was little, I didn't say, did anybody hit me? I knew I'd been hit. Man, I'm telling you, he'd whip us with a belt. You don't have to ask somebody. The Lord will whip you if you persist in sin. If you mess up and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, and I ain't never going to do that again, he'll go easy on you. But if you refuse to judge it yourself, he'll judge you. If we judge ourselves, we won't be condemned with the world. Be hard on yourself. Take God's side about your sin. Don't ever try to talk yourself into thinking, well, under these circumstances, and well, I've raised this way, and well, it's because of this, and well, don't do that. You're asking Him to whip you. Say, look, you're right, I'm wrong, I shouldn't have done it, I was wrong, you're right. You better agree with Him, and then He'll go easy on you. You start this junk about trying to justify your sin, but you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, He does. Ain't no excuse to sin. But you don't know how I was raised. Yes, He does. But Lord, my husband left me. But Lord, my wife left me. There ain't no excuse. You just say, I'm guilty, I'm sorry, forgive me, wash me in the blood. You look at it like He looks at it. The best thing you can do is look at your sin the way God looks at it. Don't try to finagle around in your mind, because you ain't going to trick Him. You ain't going to con God. Best thing to do is say, it's wrong, it's wrong. I know I'm wrong, I'm sorry. That's the best way to deal with your sin. Don't try to figure out some way for wrong to be right. There ain't no way for wrong to be right. All right? It brings the chastening hand of God. He does correct us when we sin. Over and over and over. Now, I believe that one of the biggest mistakes some of y'all making is not reading your Old Testament. You'd be surprised that people don't ever read the Old Testament. They don't hardly read the New Testament. But when they do, they read Psalms or the New Testament. You're making a big mistake by not reading your Old Testament. Now, I know it's tough and I know it's long and tedious, but there's some of the best story in 1 and 2 Chronicles and 1 and 2 Samuel. You read 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's like the Lord's people would get out of God's will, and you know what the Lord would do? He'd sell them into the hand of so-and-so, king of so-and-so. You know what that means? They'd have trouble and they'd have problems and burdens. When they would repent and cry out to Him, He'd bring them out. Read the book of Judges. 7 times in the book of Judges, they'd get out of His will and He'd knock them and they'd get back right. Get out of God's will, He'd knock them. Spend some time into that Old Testament, and how God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament is a lot of the way how He deals with us individuals in the New Testament. And over and over and over, it would say, He sold them into the hands of Syria, the king of Moab or somebody, and let Him rule over them. And that's what's happening in our country tonight. We're being sold into the hands of the United Nations and one world government, all this kind of stuff. So make sure that you read them Old Testament stories. You know what it says? It said sometimes them guys, those kings, would do wrong, and the Bible said the Lord stirred them up an adversary. That's a weird thing. If we do wrong, sometimes the Lord will stir us up an adversary. Now, sometimes them adversaries come up from the devil just trying to stop us. But if you sin in, the Lord might stir up an adversary. I'll tell you something really wild. It said an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. I've had a lot of people ask me that. How's an evil spirit from the Lord? That means the Lord allowed an evil spirit to get in those kings and persecute His people. When you do wrong, the Lord will allow an evil spirit to get in somebody and smack you. You know what people are? People are God's belt. He'll whip you with people. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it. He said, I'll chasten them with those kings and those armies. That's why when they went into them cities, He said, slay everybody, men, women, children. God was using them as a weapon to punish those people for their sins. Shimei. Oh, Shimei. He was He was. How many of y'all know who Shimei is? Remember when David was walking up a hill like this, him and his men, and there's a valley here, and old Shimei's over on the other side throwing rocks at him. And he's over there like this, and he'd throw rocks at David, saying, "I'm telling you, I hate your guts. You ain't no king. I hate you." Boom! Throwing rocks at David like that. And David's men were saying, "Why don't you let us just go over and take off his head?" And you know what David said? He said, "Just leave him alone. He's doing what God wants him to do. The Lord's using him to whip me." Huh? That's right. And he did bless David. He did. If somebody's hitting you real hard, God might be using him to whip you. I don't know. That fellow might have been kin to Uriah the Hittite. He might have been Uriah's cousin that David had killed, or related to Bathsheba's family. They don't forgive too easy. And he said, "Hey," and David said, "He's got every right to feel like he feels. Just leave him alone. God's using him to whip me." You're getting into some spiritual stuff there that the average Christian has no clue in the world even exists, because they will not read and preach and teach the Old Testament. Read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and the book of Judges. The book of Judges is an amazing study on the law of human collapse. The book of Judges is an absolute contradiction of evolution. The book of Judges teaches you that everything goes down unless God reaches down and fixes it. Man goes down, your car goes down, your house goes down, nothing evolves, everything gets worse unless an outside force comes in and fixes it. So, sin brings the chastening hand of God. It's like that guy one time, he got him for stealing. They caught him for stealing something out of a store or something like that. And he got up in front of the judge and he said, "Well, judge, see, it really wasn't me. My arm just reached out there and got it, and it was my arm, didn't it?" The judge said, "Okay, I'll sentence your arm to a year and a half in prison. You can go with it or stay here. You did it. Admit you did it. Admit you did it." It's like that car. These guys came out one time and they went into a house and broke in a house and stole some stuff. And they thought they got away with it. And they backed into a snowbank and got out there and stole everything. And the police got there. Their tag print was just perfect right in that bag of that snow. That's the way sin does. You think you got away with it. You think you got... It'll pop up somewhere. It'll pop up. It's like the measles, brother. It'll pop out on you. It'll pop out on you. I ain't kidding you. That's a great question. That's a tremendous question. That's a good sign you're saved. I'm the same way. I'm the same way. It seems like I get it just like that. I know other people who live shack up 10 years and seem like they got it made. Yeah, that's good. That don't mean them people ain't saved. Sometimes they may be going through mental torture we don't know about. They ain't getting away with it if they're saved. Yeah. The Lord looks at your heart, that's for sure. But you know when you do something wrong and the Lord smacks you. Even if it's just something that you think's little, like gossiping about somebody. I mean, how many times have you gossiped and you felt real bad about it? And then you tell this person, "Say, look, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. It's none of my business." I mean, you ever do stuff like that? I hope y'all do. I hope you're a mature enough Christian to say, "Look, that was gossip and I'm sorry." If you ain't, you're not a very mature Christian if you can't do that. If you can't tell your wife you're sorry once in a while, or your husband, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," you're not a very mature Christian. Because everybody makes big mistakes and everybody needs to say they're sorry once in a while. Amen? Amen. And I mean everybody. Me, you, all of us. I tell you, I used to, when my girls, I'd get down, and don't you think your kids can't see your sins? I used to tell my girls, I said, "Look, y'all, girls, I was wrong and I'm sorry." I know people that's afraid to admit they're wrong for their kids because they think it means like they're weak or something. But they know it anyway. They ain't stupid. So you might as well say, "Look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted like that. I showed myself here. I lost my temper. I said something I shouldn't have said. I acted wrong. This preacher took me out to eat one time, and I'm gonna hush here in a minute. Preacher took me out to eat one time at a steakhouse. I was preaching up in Maryland. He's not even alive now. You don't know who he is. But he took me out, me and him and his wife, somebody, they want to take me to this real nice steakhouse. And we're sitting there, and we ordered our food. And this guy was, he was so hot-headed. He was a good preacher and everything, but he had a real quick temper. And he got his steak, and it wasn't fixed right like he thought it should be fixed. And boy, he blessed that the wait, I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, waiter or waitress. I said, I told you I wanted this medium. Look at this. This is well done. And I was just sitting there like this, like, oh, my goodness. Like, I mean, he gave that poor waitress down the road. It was embarrassing.
He probably got his face medium.
He did what?
Somebody might have
seen it. Well, I wouldn't doubt that. If they told him how he acted, they'd have spit in it.
I don't
either. I don't say a word. I don't want to spit in my food. Because they will do it. But anyway, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And me, I didn't say nothing, but I thought, you know what? He ought to apologize to that waiter for acting like that. It wasn't their fault. All they done is get the food and bring it and set it down on the table. And here this man of God acting like a 2-year-old, you know, losing his temper and blessing out the waiter. That ain't right. That ain't right. Just because you've been saved a long time don't give you a right to act like a brat or a heathen. Amen? And there's a lot more sin than committing adultery and robbing banks and murdering people. And there's a lot of stuff sin like pride and jealousy and self-righteousness. And that's just wicked on God's list in the same verses as some of those sins that we consider really, 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 really big sin. So if you mess up in front of your kids, repent in front of your kids. Tell them you're sorry. Ask them to pray for you. Anybody else, right quick? We're going to stop. All right. Let's bow our head for prayer. Come on, Miss Desi. I want you to play something softly. Best advice I can give you tonight, stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. Make up your mind right now. Stay away from sin. Make up your mind right now. God, help me to get away from that person, that activity, that habit, whatever it is. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I know my life will be a whole lot better without that sin in it. God, forgive me. Forgive me. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've asked you to forgive me so many times. He won't forgive me no more. That's a lie. That's the devil telling you that. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. He'll forgive you right now. Make you clean, pure in the blood of the Lamb. Father, do what ought to be done. Have you in our heart, Lord. We love you. Bless now these folks. Thank you for them coming out on Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, for the kids back there tonight. Pray you'd bless them. Have you in our lives. We love you. Lord, bless those here tonight that are struggling with sin, those that are having problems, those that are having burdens. May your will be done in our lives, Lord. We love you. God, help us tonight, Lord, to be blessed. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things that happened in the last few weeks, the souls that have been saved, the great services we've been having. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Now use us, Lord, for your glory. Touch hearts and lives. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. 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 Don't leave. Just say it. Amen. All right. Let me mention a couple of things right quick and we're going to go. Don't forget, we're going to visit 9:30 Saturday morning. So you'll want to be here and go with us. We had a good week. This is one of the sorriest weeks of the year. Last week, this week, and the next two are the sorriest for church attendance of the whole year. I hate it. I hate all these people being gone. But we had over 300 here and a bunch of people gone. Decent day on the buses. Praise God for that. Let's work hard Saturday. The next two are the really bad ones. This one and the next one are the two worst Sundays of the year, including Christmas. Two worst of the year. So let's work hard, bus workers. Let's pray. We're going to have a big day on July the 6th visiting. We want everybody to come out and go with us. If you want to do something for the Lord, July the 6th, we're going visiting and going to try to have a big day on our buses on the 7th for our anniversary. Now, another thing right quick. We need to have a little quick business meeting right quick. Got something very important to talk about. So we need to do that right now, Kim. If you'll write this down or take notes on it, someone want to make a motion that we enter into a business meeting. Brother Mike made the motion. Second. Is there a second right quick? Brother Ray? All right. We are in official business right now. Won't take but just a second. Brother Jim here, Brother Jim Thomas, travels all over the country helping churches. He helps churches that don't have a lot of money build them. As a matter of fact, he's going to start going to some foreign countries. So, Brother Jim, why don't you just stand up and just tell us a little bit about what you do and what you're planning on doing. Amen. God.